Okay, we're going to open in Matthew chapter 11 in verse 25, keeping in mind what we looked at last week regarding the humility of Jesus Christ that he lived and taught. Verse 25, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father, save the Son. And he to whom, or whosoever, the Son will reveal him. Boy, that's some incredible authority, isn't it? Verse 8. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what?
Rest.
Then it says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. I just want to take a minute with this. This verse really speaks to the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's meek, and that those words for lowly in heart are humble. He was humble. He said, take my yoke upon you. The understanding of that yoke is to, and the way it's most often used biblically, is where the yoke of one in authority, and usually it was used in a bad sense. One example was Rehoboam, when he became king over Israel, and they asked him and said, you know, don't lay us on us any more burden. We can't do it. We can't take it. Well, Rehoboam consulted with his young advisors, and the advice was, the burden my dad put on you will be like my little finger. See? Isn't that something? That was the yoke he put on the people. When people were brought into bondage, they were under the yoke of their captors. See, in this context, you had Israel that was under this unbelievable yoke. And I'm not speaking simply of the law, but the yoke, and we've been reading about it, the yoke and the burden that had been placed on Israel by the religious leaders, by the men who were supposed to be teaching God's word, by the men who were supposed to, you know, keep them looking out for the Christ. You understand? They rejected the Christ. And they put these burdens on people. And Jesus Christ is saying, come to me. My yoke is easy. It's beneficial. It's helpful. It will help you. It's not going to burden you. It'll help you. Isn't that beautiful? My burden is what? Light. It's light. You know why? Then he says, it'll give rest unto your souls. Because Jesus Christ would do all the work. Do you understand? That's why the word says, when we put ourselves under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're free men. We're free because he paid the price. He did the work. See, and then this section closes with, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And the only burden, you know what the burden is? To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ooh, isn't that awesome? I want you to turn to Romans, please. Romans chapter 12. Jesus Christ whole life in ministry, demonstrated great humility to the Father. In Romans chapter 12, and again, I know this section is familiar to most of you, but what we read here in Romans 12 is, it is the intent of what has been revealed previous to this through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 12, 1 opens with renewing the mind. Therefore, because of these incredible mercies of God in what he's given freely through the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, what God is asking us is to believe it. Believe what I've done for you. Believe what I've made you. Okay? Heavy, right?
It's really good.
So, you know, but as a result of that renewing the mind to what God has done, it's really neat. It goes down here. I think we'll pick it up in, let's pick it up in 12. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation or mental pressures. Continuing instant, being faithful to constant prayer. Distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. That means think the same thing. One toward another. Then the King James reads, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. That is the word for humble. The King James kind of makes this a little rough. But what it means is to associate with or to run with those who are humble. And we'll see more about that in a moment. But we run with those, we associate with those who are humble. And then that verse closes with, you know, be not wise in your own conceits, which is the opposite of humility. Okay. Now, Ephesians 4, we can stop there. Let's stop in Ephesians 4 on our way to Colossians. Because it's sort of similar. You know, this Romans 12 begins the practical side of the doctrine that we find in Romans. And it's going to require humility. It's going to require humility to submit to the Word of God. It takes humility to submit to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the results of that are really good. The benefits of that are really good. And you know what? It's a lot lighter burden than the flesh places on you. Yeah. You know, I mentioned about the Judeans being under the yoke and the burden of those religious leaders. Well, and what we're going to see here is you and I, who have placed ourselves under the Lord Jesus Christ, we are freed from the weight and slavery to the flesh. Prior to that, we had no option. We were slaves to sin, slaves to the flesh. And the only pursuit was to satisfy the desires of that flesh. And the problem with that, and why that is such a heavy burden, is because the flesh is never satisfied. So Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 opens with, therefore, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation of the calling wherewith you're called, with all lowliness. That's our word. It's humility. It's lowliness of mind, humility. And meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. To forbear one another in love is going to take humility to what God has done in Christ, in this body of Christ. And then it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're to put forth a diligent effort to guard the unity that comes from the Spirit that God's given. We don't want to be among those who mistake uniformity for unity. Because we are all different. And we forbear one another in humility to our God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You see how critical humility is? Let's go to Colossians. Colossians, please. Philippians, Colossians. And we are going to start here in chapter 3. And I'm just going to do a little reading here. It says, if or since you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your mind, your thinking on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead. This is actually in the Greek. This is in the aorist tense, and it means you died. You died. And your life is hid where? In Christ. With Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Therefore, or mortify therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And then it lists fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. But that's not who we are, is it? No. So what is being said here is don't live like them. And the beauty of it is we don't have to. Because of the Spirit of God that we receive when we believed on Jesus Christ, placing ourselves under him, yoked with him. That's why it says, in the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now you also put off these. And without the grace of God, without the Spirit of God, this is just all talk. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you've put off the old man with its deeds, and have put on the new, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him or created it. Where there is neither, this is so awesome, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian or Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is what? All and in all. It's Christ. That's the standard. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, excuse me, kindness, humbleness of mind, humility, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and what? Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on charity or love. Because it is what binds this thing together. That love. And it is by way of that life that we've received from Jesus Christ and the resulting grace from God that we can carry out what we read here and be what it is God is encouraging us to be. With that in mind, go to James, please. Book of James. I'm going to start in verse 1. We're going to take a brief moment to we're going to take a brief moment to look at the dark side. All right? But it ends good. It ends good. Verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts or desires? I'm sorry. Book of James, chapter 4, verse 1. If you'd have memorized the Bible, you would have known that. All right, chapter 4, verse 1, James. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your desires that war in your members? You lust, you desire, and you have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not because you ask not. This is approaching things by way of the flesh. This is what yoked to the flesh, a slave to the flesh. This is what it's describing. It's what it looks like. It's the world. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss or with evil intent, that you may consume it upon your desires. It's all rooted in selfishness. Let me ask you this. Is selfishness humility? No, because selfishness is all about who? Yourself. All about self. That's right. You know, the clue to that answer is in the word itself. Self. Never mind. Verse 4. You, adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy or is hostile toward God. Because the way the world does things and the way God does things are polar opposites. The way the world thinks compared to how God thinks, polar opposites. You can't be friend with one and friend with the other. Now, when I talk about the world, you know, I'm not talking about enjoying a sunset. You guys understand that. Okay. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? This spirit in this verse is referring to that spirit of man. It's man. It's that flesh. Verse 6, but, and if it weren't for this voice, for this verse, we'd be in a tough spot right now. But he gives what? More grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the who? Unto the humble. See? You know why? It's real simple. Because the proud are all about who? They're about themselves. They're not looking at God. They're not seeking God. And if they look to be seeking God, it's not genuine. They do it to be seen of men. But those who are humble and realize that without the grace of God, you know, but for the grace of God, I couldn't do any of this. God gives what? More grace. And you know what this reveals? Is God's yearning to give grace. He loves to give grace. Verse 6. He gives more grace. Wherefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble, the humble of mind, humility, the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. And all of this is humility. Drawing nigh to God is humbly going to the Father. Humbly going to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. See, we don't have to be that way. We're not slaves to that any longer. We've been delivered from that. I want you to go to 1 Peter, because it sort of helps to couple of things we read here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, and then we're going to close in Philippians. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage or his portion, but being examples to, or literally among, the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Isn't that beautiful? Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all, then it simply should read, one to another, being, you know, submitting one to another. And clothed with what? With humility. For God resists the proud and gives what? Grace to the humble. See? Isn't that something? Again, God's desire to give the grace and give whatever grace is needed to live under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ and to manifest and glorify God in our lives. He gives that grace. But it takes humility to go to the Father, because I've got to at least recognize I am not bringing nothing to the table here. Right? Jesus Christ did the work. That's the yoke I'm taking on. And you know what's really cool? Well, we're going to read it in a minute, Philippians 2, which you can turn there. But Philippians 2 talks about how every knee will bow. Right? Every knee is going to bow. The reason for that is because Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, we say the phrase, I make him Lord. God made him Lord. I'm just agreeing. And, you know, and if you hear me say, make him Lord, it's in the sense of in my life. It's putting myself under the yoke of my Lord, Jesus Christ. But every knee's going to bow one day. You know what? We get to do it now. Ah! And because we do that, we get to enjoy the benefits and the grace of God. Bummer, isn't it? This is one heavy burden, boy. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to close there. I want to, I'm going to read this from the ESV. So if you have an ESV, we'll be on the same page there. But it opens in verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. These are one body verses. These are church verses. It's kind of neat, isn't it? And what this will lead into is really the greatest example, absolutely, hands down, the greatest example of humility there has ever been and ever will be is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. I love how that's translated. Have this mind, have this thinking among yourselves, which is yours in who? Christ Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? We can think like this. We can have this mind and be thus minded as we're reading here because of the Spirit of God has been born due to our believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to clear the decks here. I'm getting hit with a wagging tail. But isn't that something? See, we can do this. We can do this because of the grace of God, because of the grace that was bought for us through the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we read these things, God's not giving us something that we can't do. He is telling us who we are. Who, verse 6, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, which was the most humiliating, degrading way to die. And here, we're speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's just breathtaking. That demonstration of humility to his Father. Therefore, because of this, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father, which you and I have already done. Isn't that awesome? So we can walk in that grace. We can walk with this kind of humility. We can forbear one another. We can do all of these things because we have the Spirit of God born within.